close this morning. I'm not going to be very long. You know, very few times have I prepared a message to preach, and then in the last minute, the Lord changed it on me. And He did that to me this morning. And I prepared all week for one thing. And this morning when I got to the office, I woke up at 4:30, and this was on my mind. And I said, well, I'm just going to come to the church and pray. And I got here, and the Lord just began to stir me in a different direction. So it's okay if I just go ahead and go with what God wants me to share. Because I can preach what I have. You want me to preach what I have? Or would you like me just go ahead and try to do what God has given me? And, you know, this phrase came to me. And I read a passage of Scripture He took me to this morning. And when I read the passage of Scripture, it was a devotion that I had a few years ago. And this morning, the Lord brought it to my remembrance. And it was a devotion that I had that I read and that the Lord spoke to me. But when I read it this morning, or when it came to my spirit, I began to read it again this morning. And the Lord spoke this phrase to me. And it said, He said, God wants it all. Big or small, God wants it all. Say that with me. Say, God wants it all. Big or small, God wants it all. And so I kept saying that phrase. I even almost was like Pastor Keith, tried to make a song out of it. You know, God wants it all, big or small. And see, I ain't going to work for me. He can do that. I can't do that. But maybe we'll put some music to it, Adam. Maybe you can write a song about it and we'll be all right with it. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 21, I want to read a verse of Scripture there, and then we're going to go over to 2 Chronicles. But God wants it all, big or small, God wants it all. And I want to read this passage in the book of John. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Of course, we've been fasting and praying. And, you know, I've done a few messages on prayer, but I've not done a whole lot of messages on prayer. A lot of times prayer is hard to preach on because prayer is not something that you literally give people instruction to do. Prayer is something that is an outflow of your life. And so I could give you A, B, C, D to do in prayer, but unless you walk out prayer, it won't make any sense to you. So it's hard to preach on something or teach on something that you really can't really give instruction about. But it's something that has to catch you. It has to get a hold of you. It has to come on you. It's got to be something you pursue. It's got to be something you go after. It's got to be something that you desire, that you allow God to create a desire in you for prayer. But there's a passage of Scripture in the book of John that I want to read to you this morning. And it's found in John 21. And I'm just going to read two verses here. And then we're going to go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So you can, after I read this verse, you can go on over there and wait for me to get there. But John chapter 21 in verses 5 and 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." Say, cast the net on the right side. Say it real loud. Cast the net on the right side. And you will find food. So they cast, and now they were able to draw it in. They weren't able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and I'll be there in just a second. You know, could you imagine if God treated prayer, our prayers, like we do when we call and try to get a hold of some folks when we're trying to get some information? You ever call and get one of those answering machines, and you got to go through 50 things in order to talk to a human being? Does anybody get frustrated with that? Am I the only one that gets aggravated with that? You got to hit one, then two. Then after you hit that, you got to go here, and then you got to go there, and then you got to look their name up with the phone. look their name up, and you get frustrated. Well, I got to thinking, well, what if God was like that? Could you imagine if God was that high-tech with our prayer? It'd probably go something like this. We would call heaven, and the phone would answer, and heaven would say, "Thank you for calling heaven. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. For all other languages, press 0. Select one of the following options. For prayer requests, press 1. For thanksgiving, press 2. To complain, press 3. And for all other inquiries, press 4. Sorry, all of our angels and saints are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and it'll be answered in the order that it was received. So please stay on the line. If you'd like to speak with God, press 1. Jesus, press 2. The Holy Spirit, press 3. While you're waiting, if you'd like to hear some of King David's singing, please press 4. To find out if a loved one made it to heaven, press 5. Give your social security number and hit the pound sign. If you receive a negative report, hang up and dial area code 666. If you'd like to make a reservation for heaven, please hit J-O-H-N 316 and press the pound. For answers about nagging questions such as dinosaurs, age of the earth, life on other planets, and where is Noah's Ark, please wait till you get here to ask those questions. Our computers have shown that you've already called and prayed, so please hang up and call again tomorrow. Our office is now closed for the weekend. Please pray again Monday after 9:30. If you are calling after 9:30, or if you are calling after hours and need emergency assistance, please call your local pastor. Thank you, and have a heavenly day. Thank God He doesn't do that to us. Amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you? It's comforting to know that God answers prayer. Does God answer prayer? God usually responds 4 different ways to our prayer. I like this. I got this from Bill Hybels. It says, if you request it wrong, the answer is no. If the timing is wrong, the answer is slow. If you are wrong, the answer is grow. And if all conditions are right, the answer is go. See, everything when we pray to the Lord and we ask the Lord in prayer, a lot of times through our prayer life, we can run into so many different distractions that are in our lives. I like the little phrase that comes from Amy Carmichael, who wrote a devotion on prayer. Amy Carmichael was a lady who sold out to God and went into India and actually had an incredible impact as a missionary. She wrote this in one of her devotionals. She said, "My Father, as if I am the only one in the universe you meet with. Forgive me for the days that I thought that meeting with you was not significant compared to all the other things I had to do that day." It's a great prayer. He is the God of the universe, and He does want to meet with you and me every day. He wants to meet with us before we do anything else in life. He wants to meet with us at the start of our day. He wants to meet with us during our day. It's God's desire to have relationship with you and to have relationship with me. And I want to show you a man in the verses in the Bible, in the scripture here for just a moment. And he's a man that saw the power of prayer, but he did not know the value of prayer. The thing is that in the day we live in, we know the power of prayer, but really, I don't know if we have really caught the value of prayer in each of our lives. But this king is someone who knew the incredible power of the prayer of the Lord, but he seemed to ignore it in the many areas of his life. In other words, the Holy Spirit was over the big things in his life. And God was like, don't just come to me for the big things. How many know God is concerned also for the small things? In other words, give me everything. Trust me not just with the big stuff, but with the small stuff. Trust me with every aspect of your life. And when we look at this king, his name is Asa. Asa is an interesting individual. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, he is a picture of the Christian who only needs God when he decides he needs God. And because God showed up one time in his life when he needed him, Asa thinks he decides when God should be involved. Because he thought when he prayed, God showed up for the big thing. He thought that God was dispensable to him at any time he wanted God to show up, but he was the one who was going to decide when he was going to allow God to show up in his life. Nothing more is dangerous than a life that is lived like that. Nothing's more dangerous than people who only find trust in God when they have the big issue come to a head. But the small stuff, they don't want God's advice. The small stuff, they don't want God's input. And so Asa is a king, says, I'll decide when God can be involved in my life. And God says this, I want to be involved in everything in your life. We have to grab the mentality that God wants to be a part of all of our lives. If you'll look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, you will see the story. Verse 9, the Bible says, and for sake of time, we only have a few minutes, and I want to get to pray, and we have new members to take in today. So I'm just going to paraphrase instead of read all the scripture. But to give you an overview, in verse 9, Asa, the Ethiopians, had came out against Asa, and there was a 1 million army that came up against him. He was king of Judah, and the nation was divided at time. There was Judah in the south, and there was Israel in the north. And Baasha was the king of Israel in the north, and Asa was king of Judah in the south. And this 1 million army came up against Asa. And so he came up against Asa, and so Asa went out and to this army and to the troops. And in verse 11, the Bible says, he cried out to the Lord, his God. And listen to this prayer that Asa prayed. It's a great prayer. He said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us. In other words, Lord, this is no feat for you. Lord, come help those who are defenseless and who cannot help themselves. O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let men prevail over you. And verse 12 says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Here we have Asa who prays this incredible prayer. He comes to God and he has a 1 million army that comes against to destroy Judah. And yet he goes out to God and he seeks God, and God hears his prayer and answers him. And it says he struck and flew, and the 1 million army, God answered his prayer. It was a big prayer. How many know that if you were going into battle and you were fighting a 1 million army, how many know that would be a big prayer request for God to meet? I got to looking at this. But here we're going to see in just a couple of chapters that Asa, he trusted God for the big thing, but for the small thing, he never sought God. It's interesting. You begin to think that, and the Lord spoke to me and said, people who seek the big prayers for God to answer in their life recognize that God is Savior. But people who ask God to be a part of every area of their life recognize Him as Lord. See, there's a difference between God being a Savior and a Deliverer in your life and God being Lord of your life. When He's Savior of your life, you have a tendency to only come to God when the big prayers come, when the big announcements come, when the big obstacle comes, when the big requests are needed. God says, I want to be God of the big and the small. I want to be God of it all. And if you want lordship in your life, you learn how to let God be a part of the small things as well as God be a part of the big things. Asa faces something as we see. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 16. And something begins to change in Asa's life. He knows the power of prayer, but he does not know the value of prayer. Because God, I can't figure this. Listen. He's like, I can't figure this out on my own. In verse 1, the Bible says in chapter 16, it says, in this 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha the king of Israel came against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in, Asa the king of Judah. Now he goes through these verses. And what happens is the king of Israel now is coming against Judah. And so what Asa does is, Asa says, I can figure this out on my own. I can do this myself. I don't need to seek the Lord on this. I have the resources myself to do it. So what does he do? The Bible says that he took the gold and he took silver. And he went to the king. And he went to the king of Assyria. And he bought off the king of Assyria to come and attack the Israel and to take the land of Israel. In other words, he paid the king off to do that. He paid the king off to deliver him. He took it into his own hands. See, God wanted him to come to him, and he chose to go somewhere else. He gave money to an enemy king, and it worked. Listen to me. He took money and gave it to an enemy king who defeated Israel, and it worked. You say, hear me. Just because something works doesn't mean it's ordained by God. Just because something works out this time doesn't mean that it's always ordained by God. Because we see in verse 7, there's a prophet that comes, and his name is Hanani. He shows up, and he begins to talk in verse 7. Hanani is a prophet, and he comes to Asa the king. And he said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, because the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. In other words, what he said was this. He said, because you've trusted in the king of Syria instead of seeking God, now that king of Syria has slipped out and escaped of your hand. And in verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Hear that. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking for those who are loyal to him. Loyalty to God is not just coming to him when you have the big problem. Loyalty to him is a day-to-day relationship with Jesus. Prayer is a daily thing. God wants the small things as well as the big things in your life. God wants you to pray about who you marry, where you work, where you go to church, who your friends are. God wants to be a part of every area of your life. He wants you to pray and give Him a chance to answer even the small things in your life. Why? Because God is looking for men who are loyal to Him. He said, in this you have done foolish, is what He has said to him. In this you have done foolish. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Listen, he got what he wanted, and it worked for him. But what he didn't know was, as because he didn't seek God in the situation now, there were things that are going to come back on him now. Because he didn't do it God's way, later on down the road, he's going to have to pay the consequences for not doing it God's way. Can I tell you this morning how many people want to do it their way? They want to seek God in the big moments when they have sickness or when they have disease or when they're in an impossible situation in their moments, and all of a sudden God is God. Listen, I've seen them. I've seen the revolving door, even in this church, where they've come in and they've gone out. I can tell some people by name when they show up on Sunday morning. It's not because they want relationship with Jesus. It's because something's come down the road and they need another breakthrough. That's all right. Y'all don't like me this morning, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. And most Christians only turn to God when God is needed in their life. But the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro and looking for some people who will be loyal to Him. People who will go to Him about every area of their life. Why? Because it's not that God is selfish. It's because God wants relationship. God wants loyalty. God wants to be a part of your life. He wants to move in your life. He wants to be the one that brings breakthrough in your life. And let me tell you, the small things that you do today, God will make sure they won't come back on you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Help me find a man. Well, you want God to help you find a man, but you won't let God pick the man. Marry somebody that's contrary to the Word of God. Fight and struggle with it. You say, well, he's cute. So is a puppy. But in 5 years, when you come crying back and all of a sudden that small thing you could have prayed about and God could have answered and gave you a leeway to, now 10 years later you're sitting in some pastor's office and he's left you, or he won't come to church with you, or your children are struggling because he don't believe in God and you do, and there's this battle and this war that is going on, but you gave God the big things, but you won't let him tear and deal with the small areas of your life. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what Asa did. And the prophet said, listen, you may have won this one. You may think you skirted by this time. It may appear to you that everything's all right. But I want to tell you, what you're sowing, the seed you're putting in the ground, sweetheart, there's a harvest coming after it. And it's going to show up. And you, if you plant corn, you get corn. You plant apples, you get apples. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. Won't let God in my finances. Won't let God determine my purity in my life. What I stay away from. What are my friends I choose? Go ahead! Run around with those crazies! But when you get taken from and hurt and backbit and stabbed in the back, it costs you more than you want to pay. Find yourself in a situation that now you need a big deliverance when you should have allowed God to handle the small thing from the beginning. Hallelujah to God. He said, you are going to have wars. Don't you love Asa's response? He's just a typical Christian. He said, oh, okay. He got angry, the Bible said in verse 10. He got angry at the prophet. And guess what he did? He threw him in prison. That's real Christian. Right? He throws him in prison. And he throws him in prison because he didn't like what he wanted to say. He cut off what needed to be said. He cut off with someone that disagreed with him. He cut off truth in his life. And here's what happens with people who struggle, who allow God to deal with the big things but not the small. Because when the Word of God begins to deal with the small things in your life and you don't like it, you just go ahead and cut it off and hide and put it away in prison. And then you don't see you no more. And they run out of church. Well, that church is judgmental. That church is making this. Can you believe they believe that? You mean they believe that you're not supposed to have sex before marriage? Can you believe they believe in not living together? I'm going back to that church that lets me go ahead and serve and be on committees, and I can still have my boyfriend and my girlfriend. I can still have, you know, do what I want, be what I want, all what I want. But it's amazing. They'll be there while the little stuff is going on in their life. But it's amazing when the big stuff hit. They seem to find their way back to the place where God delivered them the first time. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you got me awful stirred. They rely on their own resources to fix it. They rely on their own wisdom, their own understanding, their own will. We're taking in new members this morning. We got 9 of them. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. 9 new members. But I remember the first new members class I did. The first new members class I did out there in the cafe. I don't know who was in that first class here, but it was funny. I get up, and I usually just do a couple of weeks. No, then it was 4 weeks. And first thing I like to do is give the history of the church, all that good things, and talk about God and His faithfulness. And then on the first week, the first part, I go and I talk about a little bit about what church membership is. And then I talk about what's required to be a church member. And I didn't say that you have to, you know, be in attendance 3 out of 4 weeks, or that you had to bring pie on bake sale day, or that you had to, you know, park cars or have umbrellas for the rain. First thing I said was, listen, in order to be a member of this church, you must be a born-again believer. Jesus must be Lord of your life. You have to be saved. Boy, that's a novel thought, to be a church member. And then I said, not only should you be saved, but you should act saved. Huh? You need to live it. Not just in here, but out there. It matters what you say. It matters what you do. It matters where you go, how you live, what you... See, you're not just representing God, but you're representing a fellowship. So what you do out there represents what goes on in here. So you can't do certain stuff. And I got a little hot and heavy, and I named a couple of them. All of a sudden, a couple in the back, they got up, and they walked out. I was like, where are they going? Listen, Jesus paid too great a price for us to diminish what He did on the cross and diminish what the power of the blood does. He don't want to be just God of the big stuff. He wants to be God of the small stuff. He wants big and small, and He wants to be God of it all. I wasn't going to say that, but for some reason I felt led to say that. Listen. Listen what God's response was to Asa in 2 Chronicles 16 and verses 7 and 9. I want to read it to you in the message, because there's a word that's used in the message. And it says, just after that, Hanani, the prophet, the seer of Asa, king of Judah, said, because you went to help to the king of Aram, which was Syria, and didn't ask God for help, you've lost the victory over the army of the king of Aram. Didn't the Ethiopians and the Libyans come against you with superior forces, completely outclassing you with their chariots and cavalry, but you asked God for help and He gave you the victory? God is always on alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to Him. Isn't it good to know God is on the alert? God is constantly and totally looking for people who are committed to Him. This is what it says. It says, you are foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. Hallelujah. You hearing me? Seeking human help when you could have had God's help. Always trying to figure an angle, a way out. Always trying to find somebody who owes you a favor. Somebody to get you out of your mess, to get you out of your trouble, to find a way to get you through. Using your own resources, your own strength, your own wisdom, your own intelligence. When God says, all you got to do is ask me. Hallelujah. Just ask Him. He's just looking for somebody to ask Him. Later on down in that chapter, we see a sad sight. We see the end of Asa's life. It says in verse 12, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and malady was severe. Yet his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but physicians. He still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. God's good enough for the million man armies, but He's not good enough for my sickness. He's good enough for the big things I need, but He's not good enough to meet the needs of my life on a day-to-day basis that I need Him. When I began to read this passage, there was two things that stood out to me. When I read this devotion years ago, it spoke to me. But there are two things that stood out to me. One, do you only have an Ethiopian relationship with God? Do you only have an Ethiopian relationship with God? In other words, is your relationship with God like Asa's? I pray when I have to. I pray when there's no other alternative. I'll be at Bible study when there's no other alternative. I'll be at church when there's no other alternative. My home is a mess. But when it gets so messed, then that's when I'll seek the Lord. How do I know that I'm this type of person? You ready? I'm going to let you know how you know if you're this type of person. If you go to God with the big and not the small, this helps determine whether or not this is you. If you're an Ethiopian relationship with God, it means this. Do you pray for God to give you wisdom, or do you pray for God to solve your problems? Do you pray to God for wisdom in your situations, or do you pray for God to just solve your problems? Because the truth is, God can solve any problem like that. Sometimes God's delay in solving problems in our life, I believe it has to do with Him wanting to give us wisdom and knowing how to handle our problems. Because sometimes if God just solves it, you run back to doing what you were doing before, and it seems like the problem just comes back. But if you get wisdom about it, if you get revelation about it, once there's a breakthrough, you know how to seek God, and you know you're not going to let this happen to me again. I know my first boyfriend, but this one's different. He's cuter. See, our deliverance sometimes is connected to our wisdom and using the wisdom that God gives us. Listen, the trial that we walk through is not so much for God to hurt us, but we gain wisdom when God works on our behalf, when we walk through trials and we know, listen, if I've gone down a road and I've been robbed and I've been beaten and I've been thrown to the side and thrown over the hill, do you know when I'm traveling again, I know not to go down that road again. But what happens is we've got Christians who keep going down the same road. Take a bus, baby. Get another light. I believe this. The Bible said that Asa died. I believe we have a lot of problems in our life because we didn't ask God in the first place. We didn't ask Him in the first place. I believe it would have saved Asa's life. Vance Havner said it like this. If you have lack of knowledge, you go to school. If you have lack of wisdom, you get on your knees. You have lack of knowledge, you go to school. You have lack of wisdom, you get on your knees. Spurgeon said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise, for many men have known and become great fools. And even greater fools. But to know how to use knowledge rightly, that is wisdom. There's a lot of people who have knowledge and they still are great fools. It's what you do with knowledge that God gives you. When you turn that knowledge into wisdom, then God works on your behalf. I want to tell you, you say, well, we had 85 characters that matched on .com, on match.com. We're meant to be for each other. I don't know why I'm on that dating thing. Question is he Mr. Right or is he Mr. Right now? Is she Mr. Right, Mrs. Right? Or is she just Mrs. Right now? James 1:5 says it like this. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. Without reproach. Reproach means, it means this. You can ask God. It doesn't matter what it is. God will never reject you for asking. God will never begrade you for just asking. Listen, no prayer, no wisdom. No prayer, no wisdom. Number two, every situation, you start with God and not with what you got. Every situation, you start not with what you got. You start with God and He takes and uses what you got. When you don't bring the big and the small to God, it shows that you're not trusting God, you're just using God. People who come to God for just the big things and not the small things are not with everything and all things. They only need God when they want to use God. And God is not a part of their life. It's not trusting God. Well, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God for this breakthrough. I'm believing God for this breakthrough. No, you're not trusting God. You're just using God. God wants a relationship. Is prayer a fire escape for you, or is it a steering wheel to get you to where God wants you to live? Is your prayer just a fire escape? Just a breakthrough? Is it your oh no situation? Oh my, oh no. Hallelujah. I want to close with this. Adam, would you come? See, many times we have the resources to stop something, but not always fix something. A lot of times we have the resources to stop something in our life that's going wrong, but it doesn't mean that it's fixed. God never runs out of resources. It's kind of like this. Somebody comes and they say, well, my marriage is a mess. And it's like, well, where you been? You should have been here when the trouble was happening. Well, you know, you should have been here when it was good, then it never would have been in trouble. You should have been here at the beginning and it never would have got in trouble. Matter of fact, you should have been here before you got married. And you may not have married him or married her. then you never would have been in trouble. You see the root of this? Wisdom comes from God. And now in John 21, we have the disciples that are on the boat. And they're fishing. And the carpenter is going to tell the fishermen how to get a catch. The carpenter is going to tell the fishermen how to get a catch. But that's how the world looks at Jesus. What do you mean Jesus is going to tell me? I'm 50 years old. Is Jesus going to tell me what to do? Well, He's done it for a long time. Well, what's Jesus know about running a business? What's Jesus know about marriage? He'd never been married. What's Jesus know about my finances? What's God know about my situation? Well, I think He's been around a little longer than you. It's called everlasting. He is the everlasting Father. So He's been around a little longer, so He may just know a little bit more than what you know. Do I sound mad this morning? Do I sound mean this morning? I'm not being mean this morning. I'm here to tell you He wants the big and the small, and He wants it all. And He's looking for some people. His eyes are going to and fro, looking for some people who'll be loyal to Him that He can trust. He's just looking around the sanctuary this morning, looking for some big and small folk who'll say, I'm going to believe God for the small thing, just like I believe Him for the big thing. And so, verses 5 and 6, what does He say? I mean, it's almost a pun on word. It says, and He told them to cast to the right side. To the right side. Now here's what prayer does. John and them is an example. Listen. Prayer unlocks a side that you don't know. Prayer unlocks the side that you don't know anything about. They fished on the left side all night long. But when they talked to Jesus, He said, just go ahead and cast it on the right side. And when you give Jesus the small things in your life, what are you doing? You're asking Him for wisdom. Because there's times in all of our lives, when the left side is not working. And we've got to go to Jesus to find out where the right side is. See, there's an answer to your problems. There's an answer to the small things you go through. There's an answer to your sickness. There's an answer to your trouble. There's an answer to what you worry about. There's an answer to your children. There's an answer to your job. There's an answer to your finances. There's an answer. There's an answer. There's an answer. It's on the right side. But we first got to seek Him. Stand with me this morning if you would. Philippians 4:6. It tells us this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. Really, the translation is this. The translation is, give thanks to God for His answer. Singular. How many know sometimes God's answer is no? Give thanks for God for His answer. How many know sometimes God's answer is wait? Give thanks for God for His answer. Sometimes God's answer is later, not now. God, I give You thanks for Your answer. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's healing. Sometimes it's what we pray. Sometimes it is exactly what we've wanted. Give thanks to God. Three things that I always remember. I've written them in one of my Bibles. When it talks about prayer, the love of God wants the best for me. The wisdom of God knows what's best for me. The power of God can accomplish it for me. Million men armies show up and we seek God. But the question is this morning, what about the small stuff? And right where you are, I'm not calling anyone down to the altar this morning. But if you have a situation in your life where you need God to give you wisdom, you've been casting on the left side, and you'd say, God, I need wisdom to know where the right side is. Just lift your hand up this morning. Just lift your hand up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that as they seek you, God, the answer will come. We pray, God, that as they seek you in the trivial and the small, that your answer will be clear. Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom to deal with what we're walking through and the trials and strength, things that we need prayer of. I pray, Lord, that right now, as their hands are lifted, wisdom comes upon them. The wisdom of God falls on them right now, even as we speak. The right side is being revealed to them, even at this moment. God, you've been there for them during the big stuff. Now it's time to start taking care of some of the small things the enemy used to bring setback and to bring trouble and to bring irritation and frustration. We declare now, in Jesus' name, wisdom to deal. And now, as they lift their hands, God, there'll be a wisdom that comes upon them. Not a wisdom that comes from man, but a wisdom that'll come from God. And as they commit to pray, as they commit to seek you, you will show them their divine path and exactly the way that they should walk. Because God, you don't just want the big stuff. You want the big stuff and the small stuff. So God, we go big and we go small. And God, we give you it all. Repeat that with me. Say, we go big and we go small. Because God, we give you it all. Now say it like you mean it. We go big. We go small. Because God, we give you it all. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a great big clap offering this morning. Come on, give me some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.